Welcome back to Squelch. I'm Dano.
I'm Enthralamund, and we are here to remind everyone that Hearthstone is a game, and that games are supposed to be fun.
So, no new 5-star reviews this week. So, that means that Cadbury Leg remains our favorite person in the universe for another week.
Congratulations, Cadbury.
Yeah, it's big deal. If you like what you hear today, or you just want to be our favorite person in the universe, head over to Apple Podcasts or any place that podcasts get rated, and give us a 5-star review and a comment, and we will read it on the show. Mm-hmm. And then in exciting news, even more exciting than Cadbury's second week as our favorite person in the universe, is next week is Squelch's birthday.
Hooray! Yeah! Happy birthday, Fred!
Happy birthday, Squelch, Fred the Squelch Dragon. It's a big year. So to celebrate, we are going to be streaming our birthday episode live at twitch.tv/danoplay. The O is a zero because I'm cool. And that'll be on Monday, July 20th at 9:30 Central. Woo-hoo. So come and check us out. We're going to be doing a bunch of riddles and stuff that we have kind of backlogged and just a bunch of other dopey, stupid things. And we'll be live and it'll be interesting because it's would be very difficult for us to not be reading the chat the whole time.
Yeah, it'll be stupid and fun and probably not the best listening in the world. I shouldn't say that. It'll be really great listening. We're going to be super polished and
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. Because that's how Squelch is. We are polished. You know, that's what everyone says. You know, that Squelch.
Oh, you thought we meant polished? We meant Polish.
Yes.
We're not. Polish. And I'm not Polish.
I am also not Polish, but I don't know. I mean, maybe. I'm not going to, like, claim national ancestry based on, you know, someone moving to the United States, you know, four generations ago. It's a very interesting place to be. White person, American. Got a little heavy there. So we are going to celebrate streaming our birthday episode live, twitch.tv/dinoplay, Monday, July 20th, 9:30 Central. Be there or be square, or you can listen to it, like, on a podcast like you normally do. That's also very, very cool. We love that as well. So, yeah, this didn't get weird at all. Let's move on.
Hello, old friend. Let's meet for tea after the match, shall we?
We shall. So, Enthralmon, what did you do this week in Hearthstone?
What did I do this week in Hearthstone? Pally, Pally, Pally. My pal's Pally, Pally deck. I played that a bunch more. Pally. And I had some really good nights. The other night I went like 16-4. I played 20 games and I had just like this sick run. At one point, was this the week before? At one point I won 17 straight games versus
Demon Hunter.
That
was last week, but it's still amazing.
Was that last week? Okay. So yeah. Maybe I said that on the podcast. But then last night I had a really great run as well. I finished like 8 or 10 games over 500 over the course of a few hours. Played some co-op with some people in the Squelch chat and had a blast. I'm slowly climbing. I was at like 2200 legend or 2100 legend, and I'm up back to like 1200, but the ladder definitely is hard to climb from there. Like, I've had a really good win rate over a long period of time. It's just not been an easy climb. So yeah. And then, I also, I think I did. I don't know if I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I think maybe we did. I made an emote for you, and I made an emote for Ridiculous Hat this week for Twitch, and was really happy with how that turned out. And that was fun, and people have been really enjoying it. So, you go to Dano Plays stream or Ridiculous Hat, you're going to see some of my emotes. So that's been kind of fun. And I got a new computer for the first time in 10 years. So that's really exciting. So now Hearthstone is like beautiful and clear, and my mouse moves properly.
I know.
And the card animations are incredible. The game is so much more beautiful than I've ever known before.
It was, so I was in the same boat as you were. I got a new computer 3 months or so ago now, 3-4 months ago, recently, like when the world basically fell apart, I had to get a new computer because mine stopped working. And I think the most jarring thing for me was how smooth Hearthstone looks. I was so used to it just being kind of jerky.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that it was this very smooth running game. And it was actually a little bit hard to look at for a while until I got used to like it just moving smoothly. So I feel that. That's cute. Good feeling though.
Yeah. It's been amazing. And really enjoy it. So shout out to my friend Alon. He put it all together for me and told me what to order and built it. So that was nice. And I haven't played yet since the nerfs today, but I'm really excited for it. I'm really excited to get on and try it, but I have not done that yet. I don't know if you have.
Yeah. I was watching Hat stream a little bit over lunch. I took a late lunch today. And he was playing Demon Hunter and it was doing well, and he was playing against druids. So
not much different.
Yeah. You know. Things. No, so yeah. I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It seemed to me that the biggest change was Dragoncaster was now 7, which yeah. I don't think is a great thing for the meta, but like this is just me watching like a snippet of a stream, so like don't like be like, "Oh, Dano said that the didn't mean anything at all, and the nerfs didn't hurt, don't hurt mage and demon hunter and druid are still the best ever." It's like, "Nah, that might not be true. Like by tomorrow this time, like we might see that no one's playing spell druid and demon hunter's running, I don't know, that dragon or whatever, right?" So who knows? The meta's going to shift. I don't think it's going to shift that much, but yeah.
I was listening to the stream a lot today, and I heard Hat a few times say that Corsair Cash felt like a big nerf.
And that one seemed like a big nerf to me, because it just felt almost like a reverse Hobart. Is that right? The 2-drop warrior legendary that would add an attack, but no... extra swing.
Yeah.
It just kind of it seemed like it was just another, just like the reverse of that. And that card was awful.
It did for your entire deck. I crafted that card day one and I like hardly ever got to play it. There was a pirate warrior that ran that late in that, maybe in the meta, maybe later. And I was so excited. I was like, "Hey, Hobart's got a home."
But yeah, that was an effect for the entire deck. So, like, I was like, if you're just drawing one, the extra swing is good, but, like, it always felt to me when I was playing against Warrior that it wasn't just the extra swing, but it was also the extra damage getting done, right? Like,
yeah, and Lance, tutoring it just did three things, which was a lot for 2 mana.
And
yeah.
The tutor is so important, right? Like, that's such a big deal, right? Well, it's the same thing with, like...
Just
tutors are so powerful in Hearthstone right now. Like the draw a secret one, right? Like for mage, like you just 2 mana, you get a free secret. Like it not only is it you gaining 1 mana in that, but you're also getting that out of your deck, and it's just
that's why I thought it wasn't a big nerf. And I'll be interested. I'll try it at some point. But like I didn't think it was a very big nerf in that. It removed the least important of the 3 things that it does. The tutor and the durability are by far the most powerful, right? And the attack's powerful, but it's the weakest of the 3. So I was like, "Oh, that can't be much of a nerf." But it'll be interesting.
But think about like the warrior combo though, right? Like how many times were they like just barely there for lethal with their combo though? Mm-hmm. You know? Like I try to think back and like I'm like, you know, there might have been a lot of games where I just survive an extra turn and win the game because their combo got put off by a turn because they missed
3 or 4 damage.
Health, right? Yep. Yeah. I mean, over a game, it's, you know, when you're doing it twice, it's a big deal. And like, if you're getting it on like the wrench caliber, it's huge, right? Because you're swinging for 4 and then you're taking 5 when you get the bombs. Like, that was big. So,
and then you're upgrading that 4 weapon with like green skin and stuff too, right? So it's Anyway. So, but I'm looking forward to trying the game after the nerfs, but yeah.
Me too. I'm very interested. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with the meta in general. I'm hoping, I love the light touches that they are doing, but, it's hard to always kind of get the feel of what has changed, but I would prefer that over like nerfing a card to the ground. So, so yeah, I kind of like the way that they've gone about like all these nerfs and these card changes, because they all haven't been nerfed. They've been readjustments, quote unquote. So
a lot of them are nerfs, though. Really.
A lot of them are basically just nerfs. Yeah.
The rogue. Everyone's talking about the rogue, and The rogue nerfs to me are really exciting. They're probably the most exciting ones of them. I always saw myself as a rogue mage shaman player, and for the longest time they had by far my most games. Rogue was in the lead for a long, long time. I have not played rogue in months. I don't find the Galakrond rogue interesting. I think it's a really not an interesting archetype to me. So I'm excited that hopefully Rogue is going to move in a different direction. This expansion, yeah. And I was saying to you the other day that I really hope they look back at combo a little more. And we already saw a card today with combo on it, so I'm excited about that.
We did.
So that's I know a lot of Rogue players are sad, but I consider myself a Rogue player, and I'm excited. I'm glad they did that, because I didn't want to be playing Galakrond next expansion.
7 free cards was a little much.
Oh, with Dogwaggle as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, free card. The 4 on 7 was insane. If you could get that on 7, it was cool. And the deck itself wasn't like hugely overpowered. It was a player in the meta. But it was very linear kind of play patterns I found playing the deck. Other than what you get off lackeys. And lackeys, although card generation to me is really fun and I like a lot of RNG, unlike a lot of people, I really enjoy that aspect of Hearthstone. I also agree they can overdo it for sure, but I like it. The lackey RNG at this point in the life cycle of lackeys is like it's getting a little old hat, like, so that deck was just, you know, generation is new hat.
And neither of them are ridiculous hat. So I would say a month ago I would be totally on board with you for the lackey generations. I'm just kind of being over like lackeys in general. I would say though this past month or so they just feel like part of the game, and I really don't have any sort of like feelings of annoyance at what happens with lackeys and stuff. I really like the mechanic of the lackeys. I think the generation of lackeys is interesting and fun. I have no problem with lackeys. I agree. I played very little Galakrond Rogue. Very little. I put some Highlander, but like,
yeah,
you know, I enjoy it.
That's what I mostly played was Highlander Galakrond. What I would say about the lackeys is like, I'm not upset with losing to what comes out of the lackeys, or I'm not against having the lackeys in a game. I think it was just playing that deck. You just have so many lackeys in a game. It was just like lackey, 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 and it just wasn't interesting to me as a deck archetype.
I totally get that. But I do feel like Rouge got sort of nerfed into the ground though, because like everything that class did was basically about free cards, right? Mm-hmm. Like just absolutely free cards and like just really crazy like board swings and stuff, and then kind of getting there
And the best part about that is I was listening to the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper podcast, and they were talking about Zacko's going on and on about like how like Rogue is just destroyed and like nuked. I think he said they nuked Rogue. That's what they nuked Galakrond. And the hipster in me was like, it's time to play Rogue. Left that podcast. It was this ball of negativity, and I'm like, I gotta play Rogue.
Was me with OG Yogg though. Like like original Yogg, despised it, could not stand it, just I hated it in every deck it was played in. I hate whenever it was played, I would roll my eyes and like just anger, and it just spoiled the game. And then they nerfed it, and like a week later I was like, I need to play some Yogg. So I crafted Yogg after it got nerfed.
It's pretty amazing.
Like played the garb like the crap out of it, because it was just like, I thought it was so much more fun and interesting when it could kill itself and just like crap out. I'm like, oh, now it's fun, right? Like now I'm not guaranteed all this. Now there's excitement to it. What's going to happen? Is Yogg going to live or die? And I just thought it was just, I don't know. It added a little bit of something to Yogg that made me just like absolutely fall in love with it. And people like revert Yogg. I'm like, no, don't revert Yogg. Yogg is better now.
You can't even play Yogg either way. It's turn 10.
I know. Because Wild. I know. It's weird.
You can't play any of the fun cards that cost more than 2 mana. It's
like, yeah, dang. And that's kind of like the interesting thing about Wild for me, which makes me wonder if that extra set, the new game mode we're getting, is going to be some sort of like Legacy where it's a little bit more curated, or where we can curate it ourselves. So if we get a cube, yeah, right? Like if we get a cube mode, which I'm hoping for, and we can curate the cards that are available, like
that's
how much
too
fun.
Amazing.
Yeah, right?
Because, that'd be like, too amazing to be like someone like Galen or like No Hands or like whoever, you know.
Yeah,
have,
you could
have
play
them
their cube, right?
A cube. Oh,
yeah.
That would be, you know, Bloody
It'd be
Face.
Amazing.
Yeah, it would be. Ugh.
Or like if we made a cube, because our cube would just be an RNG fiesta of amazingness.
Stupid.
Ugh. But like that's what I really want out of Wild. And like I get that like people love Wild because like in Wild, like the game is just literally broken. And that's super fun, right? Like I'm not going to yuck that yum for somebody, but it's not like something I'm interested in necessarily. Like I want to do stupid things, right?
Routinely,
like I want to go.
Sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
No, I was like, I want to play C'Thun Rogue again, right? Like, I want to be able to do really dumb things. And if we can like craft our own like cubes in our own like meta states, right?
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Well, routinely, I have people tell me, they'll be like, "What's your favorite deck of all time?" And I'll be like, "Yoggenlode Hunter." And they're like, "You can play that in Wild." And I'm like, "No,
nope.
I can't.
No, I can't.
Wild is not the place you can go to play anything. Wild is like you have to play something powerful, or you just may as well not be there.
And
fine. Some of the decks are really fun. I've been into Wild the last couple months. Like, man, Quest Mage is so much fun, and I know people hate that deck, but
I'm sure it is fun. Yes,
and Disco Lock is really fun. Like, and that was never really a thing in Standard.
Oh, I disagree. I mean, maybe it wasn't a thing for people that played to win, but
no.
For others of us, it was a lot of fun.
I played a lot of Disco Lock in Standard. I'm not saying I didn't play a lot of Disco Lock in Karazhan. I did. But Disco Lock in Karazhan did not line up very well against Totem Shaman. Let's just say that.
Well, what did line up against Totem Shaman?
I mean, Totem Shaman.
Totem Shaman.
So I don't know. This is interesting. We got into a conversation about Wild. What did you do this weekend, Hearthstone Dan?
Oh, well, before we do that though, I was gonna say, I keep on forgetting to mention this, but like there was like an ad popped up on my phone or something for Hearthstone or something, and they were talking about Wild and how Wild is the place where you can go and do everything that you know that you love. And I was like, that's not at all what it is. have you played Wild? It's just crazy broken. Like, it has its own meta, and it is a legitimate format of craziness, like, which is wonderful and great. But it is not the place where you go to enjoy, you know, your old bro, you know,
like
mountain
someone,
giant.
It's like them being like, come shop at the mall where all your dreams come true. It's like, no, my dreams most definitely do not come true at the mall. Thank you, though.
So this week I played some Pally Pally as well. So I hit like Diamond 10-ish, Diamond 11, Diamond 12. Ran into a wall of Hunter and Demon Hunter, and I've been playing a lot of Mage this season, and like that just though Mage does not do good against those two decks, so just doesn't. And so I was like, you know, I'm gonna play Pally Pally because Enthralman's been having these crazy win rates against Demon Hunter, and so I queued it up, and it was just like, you don't even have to try to beat Demon Hunter. Like, you have to try a little bit, but like there are games where it was like, I just play the next card on curve, and like they would just like have to go out of their way to do. It was like, this is easy. This is easy mode. Like it was startling how good the matchups were against Demon Hunter and Hunter. Over a night and a half of playing, I was 7-0 against Demon Hunter and 6-1 against Hunter. It was just insane. And then I hit rank 5, and then the nerfs got announced, and everyone was like, we're done with that. Let's go play Druid and Mage. And so like I queued in playing some Demon Hunter on stream. I was like, let's go find some Demon Hunters with this Pally Pally. And I played 2 all night, and I was like, well, this is not what I signed up for. So I went back to Sandbox Mage And I've been basically
stuck at 5.
What is this,
Hearthstone, where people play other classes? What the heck?
Yeah, I want to target a class. I don't want to, like, have to, like, think or anything. So I went back to Sandbox Mage, and the meta is so diverse at the rank floor. It's really kind of hard to get, like, it's sort of hard to play, like, a real off-meta deck because you can't tech it to beat anything. And that's just difficult, right? So, like, right now, so I had it tech to beat Hunter and Demon Hunter, and I was able to edge a little bit extra percents of win rate out of that. But it really did hurt my win rate against Druid and Priest because I had to cut the card draw for early game stuff. So I put the card draw back in now because I've been seeing so much Druid and Priest, and the win rate's gotten much better against those decks. So, like, Priest, once again, with the card draw back in the deck, like, Priest is just really easy again because I'm just able to... Once I just look, search my combo, which is Pyroblast, Naga Sandwich, Alexstrasza. Because I Naga, get my two Pyros to 5 mana, then I Alexstrasza, put them at 15. They heal up maybe to 18, 19 if they're lucky. Then I just Pyroblast, game over. So it's just a real straightforward combo deck when I'm playing against Priest. And then against Druid, if they aren't able to get their death rattle down on their combo stuff, I'm able to kind of freeze it out and usually able to get there as well. So, if I have the card draw on the deck, but without it, yeah. If I'm playing just like a lot of the early game stuff, like Arcane Blast and a lot of spell power stuff, just to kind of get through those early turns to get to my power turns at the end with Puzzle Box, it just doesn't work against those greedier decks that are able to kind of like have a late game, because my late game doesn't compete if I can't draw to it, because it's a combo deck at that point. So it's it's a weird spot that this dopey mage deck I've created.
Well,
it's
I like know. I know the other thing is, it's like your way to win the game is with Pyroblast, but I was watching it, I was like, does he ever do 10 damage before he gets two Pyroblasts? Because, like, you don't really have a lot of minions in the early game. So then I'm like, you kind of, like, need to hit on box. Like, or you just don't get there.
So, the game plan is this. It's very straightforward. So I skip turns 1 through 5, usually. Sometimes I'll play Brightwing, and she'll give me something awesome. And Brightwing is life. She is a beautiful card, and so much wonderfulness has come out of her. Like, it is insane, the sort of wonderful legendaries that have popped
up.
That's
awesome, dude.
I love Brightwing. Best idea ever. Thank you, Hat, for that one. That was beautiful. She's going to go in a lot of decks from now on that aren't... That just doesn't fit because it's so much fun. But
that's great. Pet cards are the best, by the way. Did we talk about this on the podcast the other day?
Maybe.
When we were talking about, I was talking to somebody about it, and like in Magic, when you're building decks and someone's like, pet card, and you're like, that stays in. Like, I just, like, pet cards are the best.
I think that was on Discord with Bit by Bit, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Pet cards are just the best. If you have a card that you love to run, like, jam it in there enjoy life and just enjoy the game, because, like, it's about playing the cards that make you feel good when you play them. It's also about not losing too much, because that doesn't feel good. But
yeah, so, like, know, and that, that's kind of the
jam
deal
that
with this
card in there.
This
Put
deck
that
right
Nexus
now, too.
Champion Sarad in there, you know?
sorry, I have a cat, and cats make funny noises. Brand new, like, two-week-old kitty. Like, she is she is cute and adorable and still a kitten. And does kitteny things, which is wonderful and also not wonderful sometimes. You have to know each matchup really, really well to sometimes win with this deck, and, like, how could you force a priest into a rough spot to force out removal of that? Like, because, you know, they have, you know, limited removal. So how do you force that limited removal out so that when you, like, if you're not drawing your Pyroblast, that you can get there with other cards, right? And so it's really interesting, but, like, it is complicated because it's terrible. And so, like I sit about 50% or just under 50% of a win rate, and I'm pretty proud of that usually. And, like, I know that there are ways to make this deck good. Like, I can put like Doomsayers in. I can put all the freeze effects in. Ugh. That's not fun. I don't want to do that.
No, those cards are so gross. Doomsayer and Frost Nova
It's not what I'm interested in doing. Like, sometimes I discover a Frost Nova and I know I should take it, and sometimes I do, But a lot of times I'm like,
other
yeah,
times
I mean,
you take a third box.
Or I can just take a third box and it can cast Frost Nova and then also other amazing things. Yeah. So like Puzzle Box of Yogg-Saron really is, it does everything. It draws you cards and it clears the board and it freezes the board and it creates minions and it generates cards. It does everything.
More than half the time.
And sometimes it does those things on the turns that you need to do those things, and that is awesome. And other times, it just draws your entire deck and you lose.
That's pretty awesome.
So it really is an interesting... I just have so much fun with it. Like, I was playing Mage, you know, like the spell Mage, and it is definitely a better variant of Mage. If you're not playing, like, Highlander Mage, like, spell Mage is definitely better. But it is a lot less fun because I just am in love with the puzzle that is like this big spell Mage right now. Like the puzzle is part of the fun. And like, you know, like how do I even make it to turn 7, right? Or just I'm having so much fun with that. And unfortunately, like a couple of times on stream the past couple, like once on Saturday and once last night, I was like, I got kind of annoyed and I was like, That kind of bummed me out because I was like, it hasn't been happening off stream, but on stream, it's just been like, I'll be talking through different stuff and I'll be talking about different card interactions and you're just talking, right? And so I'll be talking about like something about Demon Hunter that just kind of gets on my nerves and that will kind of tilt me to a little bit, or something about Priest, which is a favorite matchup for me that gets on my nerves and it just like in conversation and it just kind of tilts me a little bit. And so like trying to figure out like how to get myself out of that like thought process when I get into it, because that's the hardest part for me is like once I kind of get a little bit of tilt or a little bit of annoyance about something, like I really kind of fall in deep. So like how do I get out of that? And so like you and I were talking about that today, about different like ways to like have it be fun on stream and make it interactive, but then also kind of get me out of that funk so that like playing the bad deck is still fun. So
One of the things about that is like I know just even from co-oping, like if I'm losing and I'm co-oping with people, it feels way worse than losing or on stream. I've streamed a couple times in the last week. Actually, I didn't think to talk about that. It's been really fun. But it feels worse to lose when other people are watching than it does by yourself, right? It just always will, I think. I don't know. It's like, wow, someone's taking the time to watch me or play with me. And then I'm not doing well. Like you lose 3 in a row, it starts to not feel good. I think that's very natural.
You know, I think that's the difference between like what I'm doing on stream though and what other people do on stream, right? So I think like it's so like when I watch you or Hat or Ali Straws, right, or any of those like Firebat or Kibler, right? Like you watch them and you feel like you're getting better, right? Like this is a very good player, and even when they're playing poor decks, like you can really see that they really
their
deep understanding of the meta and how to like win different matchups and stuff. That's not me. I'm not good like that, but I will play something extremely stupid and I will make bad jokes. So I think it's like also knowing what you're good at, and losing is something I'm super good at. And so like if I'm able to like lose and also have fun with it, like I feel that's just like the best experience for everybody. Like that's I can't tell you how many I bet if I went back and counted the number of streams where I just bounced on like the Diamond 5 floor, it would be the majority of them. Like so little climbing happens.
That's pretty awesome.
I kind of feel bad a little bit for like people who are watching, but I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of also where I'm at, what I like to do. Like I get to a spot and I'm like, and all right, here we go. Time to play the dumb.
Hey, I'm feeling hungry, and I've been thinking about Hearth Burgers.
Oh, that's weird. I'm not sure what that even means, but but I guess we can move on to the next segment if you want.
No, we don't have to. I didn't know if you were done. I'm sorry.
No, I was totally done. I was just chatting in a weird way. So yeah, let's definitely move on.
Taste my blades.
Oh my goodness! Holy poops!
That's from Random Identity. Thank you so much, Random Identity.
I just peed in my pants a little.
Taste my blades.
Oh, man. It's so intense. Nice work, man. That voice is crazy.
No, I'm going to play something for you, and it's just going to be like just a not a spoiler, but a appetizer for next week's stream, because A Random Identity also dropped us a riddle, and I want this. I want you to be able to hear the beginning of this riddle, just so you'll understand. So, same person.
Okay.
I'm not a man and not a fish, because unlike you, I couldn't wish. A queen is in my entourage. The motley rest may differ harsh. But recently, a next of kin from Outlands was admitted in.
Oh, so, man.
So, okay,
we've
first of all...
We've got some talent up in here, some skill, some right? mad skills.
That is the same person. And also that riddle I've listened to a couple of times, and I think I've almost got it figured out. But anyways...
You cheer.
Well, I had to, I had to make sure it was like normalized and every other the sound was good.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Wow. Sick voice. Nice.
It's a good one. So... Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about the Naga sandwich.
Yes, so, we are.
So what is our first good ingredient this week in Thralamund?
Scholomance Academy. Man, I'm so excited for the new expansion.
Yeah.
So excited. I absolutely loved the video this morning. Ninjanate Geo and his little sister and I were all watching it together. And are you on loop?
Yeah.
The theme is really cool. I really love the Academy theme. I'm glad it also feels very WoW and very Hearthstone too, though. It doesn't feel too much like they're taking from another IP.
Bright. It was so bright. The colors were so bright. Yeah. Unlike that but there's other also IP.
Like always, yeah. And always though, there's like a dark theme to it because of the location in WoW they specifically chose to work from. But I love when they take a place from the World of Warcraft that I've been to. I mean, I only played for a couple years, but that I've been to and they can, or that I haven't been to, and they reference the game and the space and the characters deeply. That's important to me. I love when they do that. Like, do your own Hearthstone thing as well, but I like deeper connections to the game of World of Warcraft. The art and the ideas are cool. And so that was exciting for me today. I'm really excited about it.
I think what I love most about, and I am bonkers excited about this as well. The song was amazing.
It was like a, what do they call that? A fight song almost at the
kind
beginning
of, right?
for a university or college. I'm sorry, I haven't had fight songs at my universities in Canada. I mean, they might have a fight song, but I never. It's not really a thing. So we don't chant about how awesome our school is with each other.
Weird. Yeah. Right? How are you gonna know which school is better if they don't play sports?
They do play sports against each other. I can't say I went to a lot of the sporting events.
I know. I'm joking. I went to Nebraska, so like that exists because of football and volleyball. So, but anyways, no, like the entire theme was amazing. And then just the fact that it is such a dark and awful place in World of Warcraft, it's so bright and amazing location in Hearthstone. So I haven't been this excited about an expansion since Gadget Zan. And like, I know what you and I disagree with, like Gadget Zan, like the storyline. I love the Gadget Zan story. I think it is so much fun. I think that, you know, like taking it and putting it in the place like that is Gadget Zan that I think all of us that played World of Warcraft remember so clearly. At least I do. It is so neat. And I think it's the same thing with this. I think it's just so darn good. Like it's so fun. It's just that great Hearthstone spin on the World of Warcraft that I think I love the most about this game. Like I love the its own stuff as well. I think it's super fun. Like Reno and Elise and Finley, which are some of the best parts of Hearthstone, are created right out of nothing, right? And which is wonderful and awesome. I would never want the game to not have them in it because I think that they are like the characters in this world. But like when they go and they riff on something out of the game and then expand on it, it's just so much fun. I just love it so much. I'm so excited for the expansion. I can't even begin, even beyond like, I think the cards themselves are kind of neat that we've seen already, but like just the story and the feel, I think is just, it is Hearthstone to me. Like this is what Hearthstone feels like. And I just love it when they can hit it in such an amazing way. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And what's our not so good?
So for the not so good this week, everything's great. You know what? Yeah. Who wants to complain about Hearthstone? I don't want to complain about Hearthstone. I like Hearthstone. And this week, I don't want to complain about it. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So we had the show that were some not so good, but we're not going to. Yeah. Nothing that came to mind before in the show notes. And we're just going to skip it. So, yeah.
Nothing worth talking about.
Nope. And I'm sure then if there was, I'm sure there was. Feel free to reach out to us. Like, we're not trying to say that something happened wasn't worth bringing up. It just, you know, we're kind of feeling good and we're going to keep it light tonight. So, but feel free to reach out to Discord. We're always happy to talk about that stuff. So,
it's our podcast. We'll do what we want.
Yeah, I'll do what I want. I'm on for Congress and I'll win. Is that how that went from South Park? I don't remember. Anyways, so the best good is it's a very niche best good. And by niche, I mean it is basically a Dano best good. So the best good this week is Firebat Zelay and Trump completely dominated in a chess trip Twitch Rivals stream that happened this last week. And it was glorious. It was amazing. So a little bit of backstory on this. So chess has been like weirdly blowing up. And we talked about this last week on the pod, right? Like it's been like chess has kind of been growing, which is awesome. I love the game. I think it's super fun. I enjoy playing it on the regular. And so like the chess.com specifically has like been capitalizing on this like they should. And so they've like reached out to some of like the big major streamers, like even much far beyond like Hearthstone major streamers and just like the big major streamers. And they've put together this PogChamps tournament where they would give these streamers like world-class coaching, like coaching with like the number 8 playing, ranked player in the world, like truly world-class coaches, like coaches to people who help like the best players in the world to kind of prepare for tournaments and stuff. Like, and like they would on stream, they would coach them and kind of talk them through games and like their different like tactics and stuff. And it was super cool to watch. And so a lot of these streamers were also then on this Twitch Rivals stream. And so before the stream started, it was, you know, so Nakamura, so who's like...
Were they in what? Teams?
They were. They were in teams of 4. There were 4 teams of 4. To 4 teams of 5? 4 teams of 4. And they would be, you know, first chair, second, third, fourth. So basically their seed, right? So like first chair play first chair, and it was a round robin. So all the first chairs would play, all the second, third, and the fourth, and then the top 2 teams would play a championship match, and the bottom 2 would play a consolation match. And before this started, they were kind of talking about Zelay a lot because Zelay is actually like a 2100 FIDE ranked player and was actually really, really, like a really, really good chess player like when he was like 18 years or so of age before he got like super into Magic and Hearthstone and that kind of stuff. And so like, so Nakamura, who is not the best US player, but one of the best, top 3 probably at this point, top 10 in the world, probably the best like blitz and bullet chess player in the world, which is speed chess. He's bonkers good. He's just crazy good. And he's also like he's like the big time chess streamer as well. Like he'll like average 12,000, you know, views. He streams every day. He was talking about Zelay and how, cause he went and kind of researched him because he's like, he explained, you know, like when you're in this world, you know, it's a pretty small world. And we oftentimes will all know each other at very young ages because we've been playing against each other for, you know, since we were 10. And you would talk about like this other big guy, I'm blanking on his last name, Danny something or other. He's a big chess.com guy, or he's like the chess.com guy. And he's like, you know, I've known you since I was 8 years old. And so I went back and I researched him because I was like, certain I probably played him and I probably know him. And they had played a couple big tournaments together, but like he didn't know him. But he was like, yeah, this Zelay is easily going to be the best player here. It's not even going to be close.
Yeah.
And that was 100% the case. That was, I mean, Zelay just like walked through it. But the best part was Trump and Firebat were also in this tournament. And Trump was a last minute replacement for the person who finished first in the chess.com PogChamps series. And so last minute, like the day of, like Trump stepped into first chair this team. And Trump did awesome and was the only person that beat Zelay on the day. And
wow.
Yeah, and I think Trump lost twice, I think once to Zelay or twice to Zelay even maybe. But like the big surprise was Firebat. So Firebat was 4 chair, and so I was kind of like apprehensive. I was like, oh man, I love Firebat. Like I'm a Firebat stan. I think everyone knows that. Like I just I love Firebat. I love that he was our first champion. I think he's super fun stream to watch, and he's a weirdly down-to-earth human being. Like, I can, like, you know, for his stream, right? Like, you watch Kibler, and you're like, okay, Kibler is better at everything in life than everybody. But then, like, Firebat, you watch, like, I think Firebat's someone I would have hung out with in high school, right? But he's, like, this got this mind for games, and, like, so I was... didn't want to watch this stream at first because they were also all streaming, so I was worried. I'm like, I don't want to watch Firebat like fail miserably.
I don't just
want to
feel sad for him.
Want to feel sad for one of my favorite players. And so I was watching the main stream, and then like Tito, one of our people who's regular on Discord, also kind of follows chess a little bit as well, and he was like watching Firebat. He's like, Firebat's doing really well. I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go over and watch it. And not only was Firebat doing really well, Firebat was undefeated through like the group stage and only lost in the championship round. And he wasn't just winning, but he was winning via checkmate like every single time. And that just doesn't really happen, right? Like oftentimes it just comes down to time or comes down to someone conceding. But Firebat was hitting checkmates and checkmates early. It was like watching Firebat play chess. I mean that in like an honest to goodness way, like, because you know how Firebat, when Firebat is really feeling a meta or feeling like the game, right? Like Firebat is really aggressive. He's aggressive with everything, right? And he's aggressive purposefully. And that was Firebat playing chess, and it was amazing to watch. And he was just like talking to himself throughout the stream. He was like, "Okay, control the center, guy. Control the center. Am I controlling the center? Okay, don't be stupid. Don't hang any pieces." And like, it was, you could tell that he very much understood the basics of chess. Don't hang any pieces, control the center. And that's just what he was like, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't hang any pieces, control the center. And then he would talk through these turns, and he would just like set up all these forks and little traps for his opponent. And like, it was incredible to watch. And like by the end of the tournament, like Hikaru Nakamura, who's like one of the, like, he's like, I mean, he's probably the US chess personality, was talking about how incredible Firebat was playing, and like they were just talking about it over, and it was super fun to watch. And it was like what I said last week, right? Which is like, games are games, right? Like, in Hearthstone and chess, while they don't have a lot in common, have kind of a lot in common in just how you look at the game, right? And how you play around certain things and how you try to force your player and your opponent and other different moves. And it was much how Firebat was approaching it. And obviously with like from a point of like understanding the game to a very real extent. Like, he's not like he just picked it up like the day before. That's just not at all.
Yeah. And I think like, obviously there's that little pride too, right? Of like, those are our Hearthstone.
Well, yeah. Players, especially because at the beginning of the stream, one of the casters says, "So have any of you played Hearthstone?" And Nakamura was like, "No, I've never played it, but I know how to play." I'm like, "Well, if you've never played it, I mean, yes, you might know the basics, but like, you haven't played it." And then one of the others said, "You know, I've watched my children play it, but I've never played it." And I was like, come on. I mean, you don't need to be kind of dismissive like this. And so it was like, they kind of like were putting Hearthstone down a little bit at the beginning. And I was like, you know, it's okay for me to call it a children's card game, but you don't get to call it a children's card game.
It's not a children's card game. That's the funniest thing about that comment. I know. It is not a children's card game. Magic the Gathering is not a children's card game. Hearthstone, it's a little more angled towards children a bit, but like, no, it's got more depth than that. And I think most people who make that joke obviously understand that. But that meme does sometimes, like, I don't know. It does, like, kind of paint a little bit of a brush. And it's like, come on. Like,
yeah, and they obviously, they didn't, they like, were just not at all up on Hearthstone at all, right? They had no idea who Firebat was, who Zelaya was, or who Trump was, right? Like, they was obvious. They weren't riffing off of that meme like we do. Like, they were unaware that, like, you know, that's a joke within the Hearthstone community. But it still kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, oh man, now I'm like, do I want to watch? Because what if they fail? They were the three best players in the tournament, and it wasn't even close.
That's awesome.
Like, they just completely dominated. And it completely made my weekend. I'm not even going to lie. Like, there was one moment when Trump was in like,
to bed, like, with a smile on your face?
I stood up and cheered at a checkmate Trump grabbed at one point. Like, it was, because he was completely beaten on time. The game was basically over. And he just, like, his opponent just had to play around basically this one thing. And Trump, like knew exactly what he needed to do to get him there. And his opponent didn't see it. And then Trump just stole this win. That's why, like, all three casters were like, what just happened? Like, it was amazing. It was It was a ton of fun. It's just like fun. Yeah, and it was, you know, it was awesome to see two of like our like the grandmasters, right? And then Trump being kind of one of like the OGs, right? Who kind of really built that like streaming, you know, community and podcasting community when he was on Value Town. So it was kind of fun to see those three really do well and kind of like hold their own. I guess, I mean, none of these players are great, right? Like none of them are great, but like it was still fun to see that, like, you know, we are more than just children's card game players, and it, you know, I think like the game that we love is, you know, it's a game, you know, and it's like any game, you know, it's depth to it.
My favorite part of the Twitter part of that weekend was the day before it all started. I saw a tweet from Zalay that said, "It's going to be fun to be paid to beat people at chess again."
Yep.
And I was like, that's cocky. And then after I talked to you, I was like, okay, I get it. Like,
him losing a single game was actually surprising. Yeah. And you could tell it really bothered him. And like the rest of like the other three casters, like Alexander Botez, Danny, and then Nakamura were like, yeah, you could tell like Zalay was chomping at the bit for the rematch, and just he kind of destroyed Trump. Like it was he was like, what? No, you don't get to beat me in chess. Like, even though he hadn't played, you know, competitively in years and years and years, like there was still that like, no, I am good at this game. Right. And that was and it was what was really fun was after the fact where he was they were talking about like Firebat and Zalay, and like, you know, like they said, do you see any of these people, you know, maybe streaming chess or playing chess in the future? And Nakamura was like, well, I definitely expect Zalay to be playing chess again. There's no reason he should be playing chess. And he's like, Firebat is also, I would fully expect to see him streaming and playing chess as well. I think it's awesome, right? I think it's so cool for our game to be, you know, at least seen by, you know, a smaller, another gaming community, and seen for what it is, for more than just being, I feel like.
Were the other streamers just from all sorts of other games?
They were all general. Yeah. So there was some League of Legends streamers. They were mostly just like general gaming streamers, like major giant streamers. So like
one of the things that's actually really interesting about that when you think about it, and maybe this is just me bias coming from Hearthstone though, is chess is a turn-based strategy game. It's not a reaction based game. So a lot of those other games, they have like really intricate, complex strategies, but that is also mixed with your ability with your APM, right? Like whereas in Hearthstone, like it really is, you get a certain amount of time to make your move, then you make the best move, and your ability to kind of be accurate with your movements isn't that important. I wonder if that had something to do with it. Anyway,
my cat just knocked over something. Oh well.
But we should move on. Are you done? Was there more?
Oh, there's always more. Do we want to talk more chess, or should we just move on?
I mean, if you want to talk more chess, you can talk more chess. I have nothing to add.
I guess we can go ahead and move on, I guess, then.
I'm not trying to come down on you.
I said,
let's get salty.
No, I didn't think you were coming down on me at all.
Okay, good. So each week we surf Reddit, accept friend requests, and I haven't had a friend request in a while, and read the comment section of YouTube to ask Hearthstone fans, why are you so salty? So
let's be honest. What we do is we go to YouTube. That's what we do.
Yeah,
we go to YouTube.
I also went to the forums today.
Oh, did you? Forums. The forums are also, there's some angry forum posters, right?
Oh, it's
right?
Fantastic.
Like, which is the most interesting place to be angry, right? Because you're like angry right in their backyard.
Totally. And you know what's funny? They're probably watching that less.
Gosh, yes. I think they probably pay attention to Reddit the most.
Not sure.
If they're paying attention to anything.
Yeah. I mean, I know they pay attention to a lot of it, but also, you know, I think there's a certain tone of voice that I'm sure they just ignore as soon as it starts coming across.
Well, I think there's also, like, at a certain point, like, you've received enough feedback and it's time to just go ahead and do your thing. Yep. Like, at a certain point, the fans can't create the game for you.
No. And you can't please, well, and obviously you can't please everyone, but also, at the end of the day, you have to make what you believe is the best product possible, or the product is going to be a hodgepodge of different people's intentions that don't mix together to make anything worthwhile.
So, like, maybe C'Thun and Yogg coming out in the same expansion.
That was fantastic. I know
it was. Okay. I loved it. It was so great.
Okay. So, we've got quite a bit of salt today. Some of it's salt. Some of it's just funny comments. And a lot of it I just honestly grabbed in the first 15 minutes underneath the YouTube video after watching it. It was great. What a wonderful trailer today. Just so much fun. Mm. Cool.
So I loved it. I loved it. Did I mention I loved it? Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to take the first one? Why don't you take the first one?
I will. I will. From Daniel here. Wearing a bow tie, glasses, beard. Boring and predictable. Same old rehashed stuff.
To which my response was like, wait, you were expecting a Magic Academy expansion again? Like, how is it the same old stuff? It's a totally new theme.
With a brand spanking new keyword that is, you know.
Yeah, well, the mechanics look fun, too. And like, what are you talking about? This couldn't be less the same stuff unless you were hoping for Batman and the X-Men. I don't know, what are you hoping for?
It was literally impossible to predict this. Like, they have that little prediction thing, you know, and Ben Hearthstone, if you're not following Ben, go follow him on Twitter. Tweeted out like a picture, a screen cap of like the purple jewel or whatever that thing is, and was like, Hearthstone Academy. It was so obvious, just staring us in the face the whole time.
Like Scalamance? Like who saw this coming? Nobody. So that was the funniest comment, because it was like, what are you referring to? Like, there's no, I don't know.
I mean, maybe he like watched the last expansion like by accident, and it was like, it is literally the same thing. Come on.
So this is the other comment that I read right at the beginning that I thought was absolutely fantastic. So this is from Mush, and this person just replied with, ah, great, I'm gonna get bullied in Hearthstone school too. Which I absolutely loved. And then it was like, your first reaction is like, ah, because that's my first reaction to anything to do with high school, or is like, oh man, I just hated that part of my life. That sucks. Yeah. And I really did. I had a tough time, and so like, I totally relate to this person, but second of all, just well played. It's just hilarious.
I want to read the next one because I just pre-read that, and that is bonkers. So Matt has to say, different Matt, not Matt at Arms.
Yeah,
dude, that part about stealing your soul. WTF, starting to dislike Blizzard more and more every day.
And it's I don't think they're trying to actually steal your soul.
I think it's just like a storytelling device, but okay.
So why don't you take the next one too? You take the next one.
Leo DV says, you have a problem about soul stealing when Warlock is a class of this game. You know, the one based around stealing souls and sacrifices.
All right. And this reply is my absolute favorite. This is Kurt Lindner. You're in good company, my friends. My friends and I have been hating Blizzard since high school. Everyone ends up here eventually. It just takes time. They'll never fail to raise your hopes and then smash them to pieces.
It was edited, by the way, so there was a typo in there.
Hang on. What does this have to do with either of the other two comments? The first guy doesn't hate Blizzard. He's upset they're stealing his soul. The second person is making a joke and saying the game is great. And the third person is like, welcome to our Blizzard-hating company of friends. Everyone will be here. We all hate Blizzard.
Let me tell you how Arena is just a giant scam.
This is just like the perfect example of someone reading something and not reading it, and then just assuming everybody is thinking the same way as them. It was just absolutely hilarious. I love that. That was just fantastic. Yeah, that whole interaction there was just a beautiful mess of salt.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I love this. Excalibur had to say, who has made 57 posts.
On the Blizzard forums, yeah.
Hunter and Demon Hunter will have joint class cards. The two classes that like going face What's the worst that could happen? I mean, it could just be a card that's good for both classes since it fits both archetypes. I mean,
I just still like that they just exactly saw that they were together,
like,
and was like,
what would you prefer? Like a mage and demon hunter card that you know, controlled and yet also I don't really
that heals your minions?
Like, I don't really, it seems to me that this is perfect. Exactly. Yes. Good job. Yes. I think what we meant to say was well done. That was a very good idea, putting Hunter and Demon Hunter together. Kudos. Clap, clap, clap.
All right. So here's one from someone named Lautaro, Omar. Does going to Scholomance helps me improve my CV?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes. If you want to raise the undead. Matt.
Nope. It's Narwhal. Okay. The next one is Narwhal. You read it, though. Go for it.
Narwhal. Love the animal Narwhal, by the way. The theme looks terrible, and the release cards don't look fun.
And Mad Max responds to that with, good thing there's another 122 cards to be released then.
The theme looks amazing, and the release cards look fun. What do you suppose this person likes about Hearthstone?
I don't know, but I always try to sympathize with these people a little bit, because there have been a couple expansions that I just really didn't like the art and the theme, and that was disappointing, because the art and the theme is part of why I like Hearthstone a lot.
Speaking of things you don't like, it's been a lot of episodes since Enthralamech has been around. You need to figure out a way to get Enthralamech back into the show without having to go and do a bunch of stuff.
Basically, we killed the robot in Thralamech because Dan's lazy.
Yeah, 100% exactly right what happened.
All right. So this next one is from Bovice. And their comment on the Blizzard forums is, I'm excited to playtest. Play it. Which is a really clever way of throwing some shade for the last two expansion releases, which is deserved to some extent. The last two expansion releases have been really unbalanced. But they're fixing them.
Still do find the Shaman oops to be surprising.
No,
you can't go up there, Junior. No. No, don't climb on my computer. I have a kitten. Have I told you that? She's 2 weeks old. Likes to climb on my computer. No, stop.
I'll read this last one.
Leave the cord alone. Stop.
The last one is Blue Barrymore. This is my favorite one of the whole day. It just nails so much of the Hearthstone community. Okay. I am always hyped, no matter how bad they mess stuff up like DH. I still get super hyped for this game. It's magical.
You know what, Blue Barrymore? I feel that. And just to be clear, they've made 1,534 posts. This person gets Hearthstone. Like, I feel this. I am also always hyped, no matter how bad they mess stuff up like DH. I still get super hyped for this game. It is magical. I agree with every one of those words. I agree to that. I want to print this comment on a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
All right.
So that was some good salt. There was some great salt and some great jokes today. And great work, Hearthstone community.
Way to go, Hearthstone, for making our content for us again. Appreciate it.
This one's a real page turner.
Lore's for nerds, and there is nothing nerdier than co-hosting a podcast about Hearthstone.
Nope. All right, so we got some lore today. We're gonna look at Scholomance and talk about where kind of that started and where it is. So, deep in the heart of the beautiful, pungent, misted, virus-infested Western Plaguelands lies the picturesque, calm, quiet, and mostly dead Darrowmere Lake. Within this wonderfully putrid lake sits the cutest and quietest rocky little island fortress of Cair Darrow. Caradara was owned by a family named the Barovs, who, like most, were sitting around one day enjoying their palatial fortress. Like most, just enjoying it, wondering to themselves, hey, how can we get ahead of this whole death business and just go on living forever? To which one of them replied, my real estate agent works wonders. Let me call her and see what she can do. As it turns out, Ner'zhul the Lich King was looking for a spacious estate in which he could build a place of higher learning. He graciously offered the Barovs immortality for the acreage, and they readily agreed without doing their due diligence and reading through all the subjects.
Hey, so, that's fair. There's a lot of tiny print.
Oh, for sure, right? Upon transfer of the property, the Barovs were quickly dispatched with and resurrected as monstrous undead creatures. It's said even now, they wander... That wasn't the best move. It's said even now, the Barovs, they wander Caradara, regaling visitors with stories of the casseroles they would serve at their dinner parties they used to have. It's also said that lately there's been some talk of a Barov-hosted casserole-themed podcast, tentatively titled Casseroles of the Plaguelands. All right.
Copy.
Casseroles mentioned in lore. Check.
Paste and title.
After the purchase, Ner'zhul put his wizard servant Kel'Thuzad to task. Thuzi, as he's known to his best of friends. Thuzi immediately began to conjure up his dream campus. For joy, he exclaimed, I shall name the school the Scholomance, and we shall build the dormiest of dormitories, and the labbiest of laboratories, and the torturisty of torture chambers. Everything an Ivy League school would have. Oh, and I just think it would be really chic if we built everything down in the crypts.
I love Thuzi.
So they decided to build the school in the crypts below the fortress, which is a really interesting decision. I guess not for a school of necromancy. Okay.
No, probably makes a lot of sense after this point.
So Thuzi's dream. This would be a place of curiosity, of exploration, of growth, a place where young people could find their paths in life and then quickly die terribly painful deaths, an experiment that would further the Lich King's nefarious plans.
I think that sounds wonderful.
Right? Ugh. Wonderful college experience.
Watch out for your soul, though, am I right? YouTube comments.
Watch out for your soul, Matt. All right. The Scholomance was quickly revered as the Eastern Kingdom's most, the Scholomance was quickly revered as the Eastern Kingdom's greatest school of necromancy.
I think you had it right the first time. The Scholomance was quickly revered as the Eastern Kingdom's most greatest school of necromancy.
I should have just run with it. Its staff and its students admiringly became known as the Cult of the Damned. Oh, and its primary purpose... and its primary purpose to develop the plague of death that Ner'zhul the Lich King would unleash upon Lordaeron, it went swimmingly. And in fact, they did create an infectious army of undead metalheads known as the Scourge. It was nice them who did work. It. All their academic research in this place of higher learning.
Metalheads?
Yes, absolutely. But for those who attend, this school is even more than all that. And the faculty is integral to the unforgettable experiences of students within the Scholomance. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the staff. Current notable staff members include Dark Master Gandling. This newly appointed school headmaster, Gandling is a mummified wretch of a human who just loves to see the joy in the faces of students who raise the unwilling souls and bodies of the dead from their graves to do the bidding of the Lich King. Just seeing that look on their face for the first time, you know, when they finally do it, you know, and force the dead soul to rise from the ground.
I did
against their will.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like when Harry first flew.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> There's Ras Frost Whisper. This school chairman and professor of alchemy is well known by students as the hippest of the liches. It's said that in his youth, Ras walked the walk. He gave his own life directly to the Lich King. And it's known throughout the Scholomance that if you take his fourth year course, Pre-Lich Undead History, you're likely to hear firsthand of the time Ner'zhul himself had Ras over for brunch.
So stupid.
I had an art history professor who had lunch with Andy Warhol, and he told us all about it. It was wonderful. It was actually a great class. It was like 45 minutes.
Did they eat tomato soup?
No, they did not. All right, I'm not getting into it. Okay, here we go. Dr. Thiolin Krastanov, professor of anatomy, demonology, and torture.
Oh.
Students really engage with the hands-on learning that Dr. Krastanov provides in his classes. And he is lovingly known around campus as the butcher.
Demons.
Torture.
All I can think of is the butcher from Diablo 2 or 3.
Oh, Diablo. Yeah, yeah. He's the first elite in Diablo 1.
I never played Diablo 1.
He's the very first unique elite bad guy you fight, and you get his cleaver. It's awesome. That was really exciting when I was 17. Okay, here we go. There is a Lorekeeper. There is Lorekeeper Polkelt. Lorekeeper Polkelt is the librarian and the professor of history. Unfortunately, Polkelt is a terrible excuse for both a librarian and an instructor, as he is now just a shambling zombie who has absolutely no recollection of his past life, history, the library, or even what a book is. But he does hang out at the local pub after hours and is thought to be a fantastic listener.
I do look forward to Lorekeeper Polkelt taking over as the never mind, I'm not going to go there. Moving on.
All right. Instructor Malicia. This blood elf professor of occultism and shadow magic is one of the few living professors within the academy. I would tell you more about her, but honestly, even with the power of Google, I found nothing. Except that she has a large pool of loot and may in fact drop no loot at all if you slay her.
What?
Yeah, sometimes she just doesn't drop anything.
That's very vanilla Warcraft.
Yes, it is. All right. Professor Slate is the master of potions. Students often complain that he tells too many stories during lecture. He's continually off topic, scattered, and never prepared. He does, however, have pretty cool hairdo for an old undead guy.
Nice.
Yeah. Vectis, the professor of arcane magic, is very popular and renowned for two things. Number one, he's a skeleton with a head that is on fire at all times. So that's cool. And number two, he created the plagued dragonflight. Yep, he created a flock of virus-infested dragons that are metal as heck.
It's his fault that there is a 4-9 Dagron that can't fly that creates their Dagrons.
Yeah.
Vectis.
All right. There is Ravenian, a zombie whose responsibilities include both janitorial work and corporal punishment. Strange there.
It seems right out of Harry Potter.
I think it is, right? I read the first book.
Not to mention Professor Slate is just ripping off Professor Snape, but I love potions. Potions professor? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Jandis Barov. Yes, one of the Barov family who previously owned Cardero is on the staff. She's tasked with zombification, corpse control. Okay. Plague research.
I suppose it's necessary. They're going to start walking around. You got to, I think hurting cats is hard.
I wonder if she works closely with Ravenian. Anyway.
I would imagine so.
She's also in charge of stewarding the blood of the innocents for Dr. Krastanov. You need someone to steward the blood of the innocents. That's a really important job in any place of higher learning. She's also able to project illusions of her formerly alive self. So disappointingly, she looks fairly normal when compared to the rest of the on-site staff. And that's it. That's the staff of the Scholomance. A quick footnote, though. If you are interested in applying to the Scholomance, the easiest way to gain admittance is to honestly just show up and give your soul willingly to the agents of the Lich King.
Yeah.
You could also, however, probably just check the website. I'm
most
sure
likely.
They have one.
Most likely. Yeah. This week and this week only. By the way, that was amazing. And I assume it is all 100% fact. And as a lore expert, I know it is. So next week and next week only, we are going to steal a segment from Value Town. And anyone who wants to create a card based on any of these major characters, like for like a legendary for the next set, like encourage you to do so. And we will definitely go over on the show next week.
Sure. Sounds good. Yeah, the staff members, they were too good. I just kept reading.
Oh, they're
like,
fantastic.
This is amazing. I ran this raid ages ago, but I only ran it once. Oh my goodness. It's just hilarious.
That's so awesome. Okay, cool.
Oh, I love that fuse thing.
We're gonna do the rope again this week. We're gonna do our own card review. Do you want to explain the card review portion?
Card reviews. So we do card reviews coming up to every set. I think that's what should be the title for it. It's just
card
a question.
Reviews?
Yeah, it's kind of like they're kind of like card reviews. So we just go over some of the things that we think are important about the cards. We focus on like the name, the voice line. It's gonna. The sound effects when you play it, like what's it going to say, how good's the art and theme, how fun or interesting in it, and finally we kind of say how good it is, but that's less important to us. We want to talk about the aspects of what makes a card fun. I think card reveal season, getting in those arguments about whether or not a card is good, I get in those arguments and they are so much less fun than just talking about whether or not a card's interesting.
And Thralmon and I were talking about this before the show, like just in general. So this card review season, I'm gonna try and be better about this card review season. I am going to only like make every assumption based on the card itself and the current meta and take nothing else into account.
This is going to be so painful for me.
In order to make sure it is the best possible card evaluation.
Today was that a DM in Discord, or I don't know if it was in one of the chat channels, but he's like knee jerk reactions only. And at first I was like, that sounds awesome. And then when I got the first knee jerk reaction, I was like, this is terrible. I was like, Dan is just placing himself in a corner and like poking anyone with a sharpened stick who disagrees with him.
It's going to be all the fun.
You're just like a crazed, cornered hermit. Like,
I accept
this that. Doesn't work in Galakrond Rogue. I guess that's a bad example because that's dead.
Nothing works in Galakrond Rogue. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, man. But there's 17 new Ooze Warlock cards. They probably work together, but none of them fit in Quest Warlock.
If I remember that those cards were revealed, I will probably incorporate it into my review, but I'm not going to try and remember any of them.
And by the way, can we please get Ooze Warlock? I don't know where that came from, but I want it now.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is supposed to be, but I'm excited for it.
Ooze Druid? Maybe that could be a new fun archetype for a Druid.
Yeah. it's going to be rampy and then awful. But
so I've been talking a lot, so you can take the first one. Go ahead.
All right. I am reviewing Onyx Mage Scribe. So if you don't remember, so if you don't know, Onyx Mage Scribe is a 6-mana neutral common with a stat line of 4 attack and 9 defense, and it is a Daggeron. So the sound effects are going to be... Thump stats.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, you got it. That was fantastic. That is so good.
I did forget to read the card text, which is spell burst, add 2 random spells from your class to your hand. But at like 6 mana, like, I mean...
6 mana, 9 health. It's a lot. Yeah.
So how good is the art/theme? The art is amazing. It's a Daggeron, but it's a Daggeron wearing Ben Franklin-style spectacles, and it is looking off into the middle distance, thinking obviously very smart thoughts, and reading and or writing what appear to be glowing Daggeron runes, and it's just wonderful. Like this is a Daggeron that obviously thinks very large thoughts. Just really, really do love it. How fun and interesting is this card? So people are going to forget this card exists, but then it's going to pop out of a Daggeron lackey at some point and make something awesome happen.
That's pretty awesome.
And then how good is it? It's bad. It's terrible. I mean, it's got stats, but like at 6 mana, it needs to have some sort of impact on the board other than, you know, if you still have the coin at this point, you can add 2 random spells to your hand, right? Yeah. Like, it's terrible, but yeah. Off a Daggeron lackey, who knows?
Yeah, you're right. You know what's really funny is I just wanted to see the card while you were reading about it, so I Googled it up, and I clicked over to image search, and I'm here. And there's a couple pictures of the card, and then there's some, like, a Scholomance Academy guide header. And then, do you know what the next thing is in the image search? It's no. The Hakkar card back! Why does the Hakkar card back pop up? It's everywhere!
It is the worst thing.
It is the worst! Oh, please, if you are listening to our podcast and you have any respect for anyone,
if you
change your card back if it's the Hakkar card back.
Please, just as a favor to me.
It's already showing up in my dreams. Why is it showing up in a Google search for Onyx Mage Scribe?
It is awful. Like they really need to have a second and third of these like weird little things and have them be like different, just so that like we get a little bit of difference, because like I am so tired of seeing the Hakkar card back. Yeah, so tired. Of it.
I'm sorry to take this. I'm looking and I'm like, why is that there? What does it have to do with Onyx Mage Scribe? Like, I didn't search Hearthstone. I didn't search whatever. Did someone just like literally title that image Onyx Mage Scribe?
Gonna now.
Oh God, that's awful. Yeah. So, for my card, I chose the Wand Thief. This is one of the new split class cards, I'm really excited about it. So it's a 1 mana 1/2. It's a combo card, discover a mage spell, and you can play it in mage or rogue. So the Rouge. Sound effects when you play it are going to be, would you like to buy a wand that makes funnel cakes?
I hope it is. And you can buy a funnel cake wand. Right?
How good is the art and theme? The art is good. I love it. It's a great shot upwards at a gnome trying to sell you wands out of her cloak. The theme is fantastic. The violet and green color scheme is one of my favorites. I absolutely love those colors together. There is nothing more university than a fellow student trying to sell you prohibited goods of some sort.
Like, or credit cards. Just, like trying to sign up for a credit card. Sign up for this credit card.
My first year at college, I was walking through like the courtyard, and someone walked up to me and said, "Hey, do you want to buy some drugs?" And I like lost it, because like they didn't specify what kind of drugs. They just said like the overarching. I felt like I was in the middle of a high school, like, you know, PSA video or something.
After school special.
Yeah. Hey, want some drugs? I was like, what?
I mean.
Anyway, whether or not it's like textbooks, black market textbooks or whatever, there is nothing more university than someone trying to sell you something illegal to get by. All right, how interesting is this card? I love the cross class cards. They were really fun in Gadgetzan. I'm really excited about these new ones. I love that the RNG pool with this card too is specific to mage, because I like card really generation good. And I like RNG, but I like that it's also, you can have some idea of what it might get you. It makes, and mage has good spells. How good is it? I think it's really, really good. I think any rogue deck that isn't aggro rogue will run this.
I don't know that aggro rogue won't run this. Is a combo activator and stuff? 1 mana, discover some burn?
Yeah, it is discover. So you have 3 shots at burn. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just not so many burn spells right now in Mage. There's like three, right? There's Frostbolt, Fireball, Apexis Blast. Oh, Pyroblast.
Pyroblast.
Pyroblast and Aggro Rogue probably.
And then don't discount how, you know, incredibly important Sheep can be. If you can Sheep a taunt, that's just how you get through, right?
Yeah. So maybe this will be. Anyway, that's my take on that card. I'm really excited about it. Jazzed.
Very good. I'm also very excited and very concerned about how good this card is going to be. because it's so good in so many rogue archetypes right now, right? Where yeah. like you get to discover a mage spell, not like a rogue or a mage, so it guarantees activates your thief cards. And then mage cards are just really good with rogue, right? Like rogue can really abuse other class cards really, really well. I don't know that this gets played in any current mage archetype, but like this is
I think it does.
I think this will be played in a lot of rogues. I want to play rogue.
Does this go in Cyclone Mage?
No, because Cyclone Mage is all about spells.
But it's right? about cheap spells.
You don't want to like spend one mana of your Cyclone Mage turn comboing out a minion.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a redundancy, right? Like it's there in case you don't have much else to do and you got a handful of what are the one mana
cheap
freeze
worthless
ray
spells?
Yeah, you could maybe at least get some.
I could see that. It's got an okay stat line at 1/2.
Not that Cyclone Mage is a thing right now. Anyway,
no,
just a
no.
thought.
Yeah,
but it's also
know.
You know what? I'm just realizing too. This is a cross class card between two of my favorite classes, so that's the other reason I'm obviously excited.
Yeah, no, this one I think is definitely an interesting card. And if it sees play in Mage, I'll be surprised. And it might be a fun tempo Mage even. So,
mm-hmm. Ooh,
I don't think this creates that, right? But I think this just fills holes for Rogue.
But you just said tempo. You just said new tempo Mage, and I got excited.
Yeah, I know.
Because I've been waiting. Mana Worm, why did you leave me?
Why didn't they just rotate it? I feel so bad for Mana Worm. Like it was just done dirty, right? Like either make it a 1/2.
I love that card.
Make it a 1/2 so it's still playable, or just rotate it onto Wild.
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think that's it for us this week. Yeah.
That is.
We're going to get to your riddles next week. We have riddles in the hopper. We know you guys have been giving them to us, all of you. And we're sorry we didn't get to them the last 2 weeks. But, the adventure, the expansion dropped today. And we're excited to kind of look at that content. So,
yes. And what I was trying to say is that is it for this week. Couldn't get it out.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. I'm like, am I having another stroke? No. Okay.
Please don't.
If it wasn't for that kidney stone, I would have been driving into work. I've been commuting when I stroked. Can you imagine?
And every once in a while, this happened today. When you don't get back to me on Discord in 2 hours, that is very unlike you. And it reminds me of the day you had your stroke because I was working on art for you. And I was like, you were so excited about it. And I was like, Dan's not getting back to me. It's been a day. Is he okay? Nope. My friend was not okay. Not at all.
Yes, but just a reminder, next week, July 20th, 9:30 p.m. Central Time, live episode of Squelch for our Squelch birth Squelch day. It's going to be dumb. Like, that's just kind of what we do. So, like, come and enjoy the dumb with us.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for listening. We love you. You can find all our socials, media, and contact information at squelchcast.com.
And thank you very much. And remember, this is a game, and games are supposed to be fun.
For all the times you said while playing in one game.
Thank you, Craig.
For all
He's
the
so
times
good.
You said
Craig,
thanks when I miss
This is an amazing
playing.
Outro. We appreciate it.
For all the times
Yeah,
you
Craig,
said while
Matt, make yourself known, bro.
Wrong.
Like, I know you're not playing Hearthstone a lot right now, but it'd be cool if you swung by the Discord again. I kind of miss you.
And I didn't want to ride.
Pick a lot of magic I'll know right now. So.
I didn't want to throw him on things.
Is he?
Yeah.
This came on the radio at my house the other day. Not this version.
This version of it? Yeah, I know. Yeah, this is the only one that exists. Something
I don't want. I always get confused when I hear it. I'm like, who's covering Craig? Like,
why is this person covering the squelch song? Damn, no,
I don't like to admit when I was wrong. But I got so caught up in the game.
He had me going insane. But now I forgot to squelch a couple times last night. Listen to your show. And if you keep emoting way too much,
well, buddy, you can go squelch yourself. And if you won't
shut up, jam, we play. So good. Well, I guess I'll have to squelch you myself. Thanks for reminding us there's a squelch button. Squelch cast. You're doing God's work.
Hey, peace out, everybody. Have a good week. We'll see
bye-bye.
You
live see next you next week.
Some of you.